Scarecrow. So we will talk a little NBA now with our good friend, Matt Lodi. Matt with Northeast Ohio Sports Insiders.com and with the Associated Press out of Cleveland. Hey, Matty, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, buddy, how are you? I think, not to toot the horn, but I think I gave you that LeBron James cut last night. Was that from AP? Because it certainly sounded like the same cut I gave him.
Jim Cushlin, did you pull that from AP? He's the one who put that montage together, very well may be. See, that's what we do. We work in concert with one another right here. It's all, we're all in unison. I think Jim might be on the phone.
That's all right. I recognize exactly the way that we did the out cue on that guy.
Yeah, how about that?
What a game last night, though. What a game. That was a fun game. That was maybe the most fun game I've seen yet this year because, you know, that was a game where they really had adversity, I think, for, not necessarily for the first time, but, you know, really had adversity, really had to overcome. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. When they were down 9 midway through the fourth quarter, I said, wow, this just not be their night, even though they have been so good at home and so good against West Coast teams, other, of course, than Golden State in the finals. I thought maybe last night Utah had their number, but they're really a good job, and they came back, and it was just a really well-played game by both teams.
Yeah, and obviously LeBron James just really, really asserted his dominance in the fourth quarter in the team's 7th straight win, 17 points in the fourth. But before we talk about that amazing fourth quarter comeback, and you're right, their ability to face and overcome adversity. What do you make of Captain Short Shorts and his first three quarter? I'm sorry, I'm looking at a picture of him right now, and it is just
right.
It is so weird that he's going, you know, not all the way back, but almost back to Stockton era shorts, which is just crazy given the way those are mocked these days by modern players who know nothing but wearing, you know, the full knee length baggy.
Big baggy shorts, right?
Yeah, but it's just crazy. But anyway, LeBron, you know, it's second straight game, I think. You know, he's had to come up with big fourth quarters, but the production isn't, you know, LeBron like in the first three quarters. Is this an example of him doing what he kind of said at the beginning? I think maybe it was after the second game. And he talked about how Kevin Love is going to be the focal point of the offense. Kevin Love is going to have a huge season because we got to go through him. And whether that's accurate or whether that's just him trying to pump up his teammate, I'm wondering, is he deferring a little bit more in these first three quarters and then realizing, okay, now it's my time?
You know, fair question. I don't necessarily know if I can tell you for say that's one way of looking at it or not, or if it's just a systematic thing of, you know, the progressions. I think he referred to the word progressions or, you know, the systematic way of running their offense. And, you know, I don't know if, like, all of a sudden in that fourth quarter a switch goes on, because we've seen this team have really bad first quarters in a couple games this year. So I don't know if it's a matter of LeBron saying, I want to get my teammates involved more. You know, I was kind of obviously getting ready to talk to you a little bit. I wanted to, you know, be educated. So I was looking at some of the numbers and, you know, he's still averaging 25 a game. And, you know, I mean, I know that last night he had 17 in that fourth quarter and 31 overall for leading all scores. But, you know, Kevin Love is at 17. LeBron is at 25 and everybody's kind of, you know, Mo Williams has played really well considering, you know, we didn't know really how offensively expect from Mo. I thought he's played fantastic and, you know, everybody else is just kind of there. So, you know, I think that LeBron is still going to be LeBron. And I think if, you know, we get to the Cavaliers are able to get to the NBA Finals, we will see him play about as aggressively and as well as he played last year, because that's just the type of player he is. But I think he realizes that it's still so early, Bob, that, you know, it's time to see how this offense and how this team is going to operate if he doesn't score 45 a night. And I think so far, so good. I mean, hey, it's hard to argue with the success rate thus far, even though not every game has been perfect, like he mentioned in that sound clip, and not every game has been a blowout, they're winning. And as long as they're winning, I don't think you can argue with that, with the way he's playing and with the way this team has played so far.
And you know what's really interesting, Matt? We're talking to Matt Lodi, Northeast Ohio Sports Insiders, and with the Associated Press there as well. And Jim Cushlin has an answer for you in a second, by the way. it's kind of fun watching Mo Williams do his best Kyrie Irving. Now, he's averaging, he's averaging 16.5 points and 5.5 assists. You expect that to go up by a couple buckets a game, maybe 20 points or so for Kyrie Irving, but probably 5-6 assists a game. It's not going to be that much different. So what we're seeing here is kind of a mini or microcosm version of what it's going to look like now with Kevin Love in his second season with LeBron, with the Cavaliers, with a guy who likes to shoot first and pass second. And I'm talking about a point guard where Mo Williams likes to be ball dominant He has been in his career, but he knows his place here, particularly at this stage of his career anyway. So when Kyrie comes back, you know, the machine isn't going to be that far off from being well-oiled because Mo Williams is playing a very Kyrie-like style right now that should have everybody used to it.
I know it's interesting, Bob. We spoke to him after the game last night, and I know, I believe one of the people over at Cleveland.com asked him about, you know, is this what you expected when you came back? And I think what they meant was, is this the type of success you expected? And he basically said, I don't care what, I didn't have any expectations, and I don't care what we do as long as we're winning. And it just shows me that this is your typical veteran guy that is a perfect fit for this team because he comes in, he does his job, he's very low-key, he doesn't have a big ego, you could just see it when you talk to him. And what I like is the opportunity it gives the Cavaliers to ease Kyrie Irving back into this lineup when he comes back. He's not going to have to come in day one and play 40 minutes. He can come back and play 12, 14, 18, eventually 20, 27, 28 minutes, whatever it might be. But day one, all the pressure is not going to be on Kyrie Irving, as maybe it would be if they didn't have a Mo Williams and they were trying to do this thing with the like of Cunningham and Harris and you know, the real backup guards, if you will. You can do it with a Mo Williams who can still play 30, 35 minutes a night. And that way Kyrie can come in and do it the right way. And that way when this team gets to May and June, there's not going to be that type of pressure for him to have to go out there and, like I said, play 40 minutes a night. I think it's a perfect fit, and I think he's shown again that, not that Mo Williams ever had an attitude. I always thought that he was one of the classier guys to deal with, even in the first LeBron go-around and on all that, but I think that he's been one of those guys that's it's really a great fit, and I think he knows the potential and the opportunity, and I think he's been fantastic so far.
Yeah, I completely agree. We're talking Cavaliers and NBA basketball with Matt Lodi of Northeast Ohio Sports Insiders.com as well as, and that's just NEO, right? NEO Sports Insiders.com.
NEO Sports Insiders, yes, sir.
Want to make sure we get the right website there for you, as well as the AP in Cleveland. And, Jim Kushlin, Matt was asking when you were stepping away there for a moment whether or not that was his clip he provided from the queue last night, the clip that you played of LeBron James in the Open. Sounded very familiar, and, I told him that's the symbiotic relationship we have here. We all work together.
Technically speaking, it wasn't, this is a personal shout out for how I do my producer thing, little inside info. The Cavs website, they are posting everything, and I've been loving how they do that. I kind of wish the Pistons site would do a little more of that, but maybe when they win some more games, they will. But I digress. kind of piggybacking on what you guys are just talking about, because, you know, this clicked in me last night, too. And I heard AC and Fred McLeod in the telecast make mention of this, too. This is in relation to what you guys were talking about with Mo Williams. And I kind of thought the same thing. He's almost playing a mini version of how Kyrie will play. I think the biggest difference is Kyrie will take overall more shots per game than Mo Williams is. And where I'm going with this is, everyone's in the back of their mind worried, oh, you know, Kevin Love looks comfortable. He looks good right now, but what's going to happen? Is it going to get all messed up when Kyrie comes back? And I'm starting to think, no, that's not the case because, again, if Mo Williams, the way he's playing right now, is almost a mini Kyrie in almost every style of how he played, particularly on the offensive side, the only difference, again, being I think Kyrie will be taking more shots per game than Mo, then there shouldn't actually be that much of a difference when Kyrie comes back, and Kevin Love can still do the things that we've seen in these first eight games where, quite frankly, he looks much more comfortable than he did at any point last year.
Yeah, and I agree, Jim. I think Kevin is – I think there's two reasons Kevin is more comfortable. Number one, he knows the pressure's not on him altogether. I mean, sure, he's going to put that personal pressure on to play well, and I think he has played well, 17 a game. We'll take that any day of the night. He's rebounding the basketball. You see the effort he's putting forth. I like what he's doing so far. But also, you know what? This guy's not in a contract year anymore. He's here. He knows he's going to be here. And I'm not saying that he was putting pressure on himself for that last year, but I think the fan base in Cleveland, you know, when you kept hearing Kevin Love, Kevin Love, Kevin Love, I think the fan base felt, wow, this is going to be a guy that comes in and gets you 30 points a night and, you know, 20 rebounds and everything. And I think, you know, it's not bad for him to take a step back per se and play a little more under control, play a little more of that supporting cast role. And, you know, again, I like what LeBron has said about Kevin in that, hey, listen, he can take over games at some point. And I think you're going to see him take over some games here and there. I think you're going to see him put up 15, 20 points in a quarter because he can get hot as a shooter like we've seen in the past out of guys like J.R. Smith and company. I think Kevin Love's doing exactly what he wants to do. I think he's playing exactly as well as he needs to play. And I don't think there's any question right now that this organization and right now David Blatt and LeBron and all his teammates are clearly happy with the way things are going, with the way Kevin has been able to go out there and play so far.
We're talking to Matt Lodi, a little NBA Eastern Conference. Cavaliers off to a great start, looking like the team to beat, as everybody expected they would be, but even without Kyrie Irving and Iman Shumpert right now. Who else looks good now, kind of a couple of weeks into the season here? We talked about the Pistons in the open, Matt Lodi, who are 5-2, and maybe surprising some teams with how well they've looked, and especially with how well Andre Drummond has played. That stat I gave you, or I gave everyone at the beginning of your segment here, is kind of mind-numbing. 135 points and 135 rebounds in his team's first seven games. No one in the league has done that since Wilt Chamberlain. Not Kareem, not Akeem, not Patrick, not Duncan or Robinson or any other Shaquille or any other great NBA player. No one has done that in seven games since Wilt Chamberlain, and the Pistons look pretty darn good.
Yeah, they do, and I'll tell you what, Detroit has surprised me from the standpoint. I thought they were going to lack a little bit defensively. I thought that there were going to be some soft spots in that 1-5, and I got to give them credit. I think that they play, they're almost playing a little bit of that bad boy style of the 80s. You know, they're with, and the Drummond leads the way. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he has been unbelievable. Atlanta, you know, 7-2, they're right there. And, you know, this is a team that a lot of people felt was going to kind of fall off the face of the earth after last year, after the way they played and won the one seed in the East, and the Cavs just blew them out of the water in all four of those playoff games they played, which wasn't necessarily that much of a surprise. But what I do like about the way Atlanta's playing is there's just a little bit more of an aggressiveness there, and they don't mind being the underdog. They know that they're not expected to go anywhere this year because, you know, of how well they did play last year. Your usual suspects, Chicago, I think Miami's much improved. They're going to be there as far as a playoff team. Toronto has played pretty well early on in the season. But, you know, guys, I don't know how much time you need to even spend on it, only because of the fact that the Cavaliers, I just think, are so heads and tails above everybody. I don't see them being pushed to the limit by anybody in the East. And the West, on the other hand, there's some team in Golden State. They won a couple games last year in an NBA title that, boy, I'm telling you what, you watch Steph Curry, it almost looks like this is going to be one of those epic years where you're going to get that rematch. And I know it's so early and so many things can happen, but if it's playing out like it is right now, I think this could be one of those special type of NBA years of the Bird and Magic era, of the Jordan and Johnson eras, where you're going to see two of the greatest players go out there and just go haymaker, you know, Ollie Foreman, if you will, and just throw haymakers at each other in seven games in the NBA Finals, because those two teams are so heads and tails above every team I've seen so far. It's hard to believe that both those teams wouldn't be there in the end.
The Cavaliers are the best team in the East in winning margin, victory margin, winning their games by 8.6 points per game. What do you think the Western Conference leader is at?
Oh, Golden State? I'd have to say they're double that. 16,
exactly.
18? I think
they are winning their games, Matt, and Jim, by 17.8
right.
points per game.
That's
their margin of I think that is beyond insane. You know, San Antonio is 5-2. They're
right.
They're second. They're at 10.6 victory margin.
Say about plus 9 or 10.
Yeah, plus 10.6, and then the Cavaliers. But the leaders are out there at 17. They are rolling teams, and Steph Curry is doing stuff that basically, you know, the baby face assassin, all that stuff. He still just looks like, you know, Mr. Oshucks kind of a kid. But he looks like he is out there just ready to drive a stake through the heart of anybody who says they had an easy run to the championship last year. And by the way, my hand is in the air. You know, they did not have to play the Spurs. They did not have to they did not have to play the Clips. They didn't have to play, you know, the Cavaliers at full strength. They really caught every break, and some people said kind of a soft title for a great team. Given all of their victories and everything else, they weren't really tested the way they should have been in that meat grinder of a Western Conference playoff because of the way things broke down. I think they heard that over the offseason. I think they listened, and I think they listened intently, and they're coming out here kind of like the Patriots started this season in the NFL after all of the haters and the Fleetgate, just to stick everybody's face in it and say, there, how do you like me now?
Well, I watched the game, and I didn't watch the whole game, you know, I'll be honest, but I watched the second half of the game against the Clippers on Friday. Espen had that as their second game, and it was almost as if the Golden State, I mean, the Clippers threw everything they had to win that game. And Golden State still just kind of said, not tonight. You know, they just did what they wanted to do. It was a close game, too, to be perfectly honest. Might have been the closest game Golden State's played. And, you know, the Clippers are a good team. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Griffin and, you know, those guys, you know, Chris Paul, they're a very good team. And it's almost though, as I said, as if Golden State just turned it on when they wanted to, kind of like the Cavs did last night. They are just like the Cavs, Bob. They're heads and tails above the rest. And the other thing you got to throw in about Golden State last year in their title run is the one key word, health. They did not have many guys that had banged up injuries, and they played a Cavs team that was depleted. We know that, and the Cavs still won two games. I think if you say the name Mo Williams, that's going to be a key factor. If, again, I know we're looking way ahead to so it's 6 months away, but way ahead to the game, if the Cavaliers and Golden State happen to do meet again, I think Mo Williams will be a key factor in that series because of the way that he could play defense, hopefully, on a Steph Curry for Cavs fans.
I don't disagree with that at all. And before we get back to Jim here, I would disagree when we say they're head and shoulders above the rest, just like the Cavs are. The Warriors look like it today after eight games, but there's no way they are that much better than everybody else in the West that the Cavaliers are than anybody else in the East.
Right.
Spurs are going to be dynamic. The Thunder, by the way, if you're wondering, the Thunder are the second leading scorer, highest scoring team in the league right now with 114.8 points a game. That is just behind 114.9. 1.1 difference between the Warriors and the Thunder. When Durant and Westbrook are fully healthy for 40, 50, 70 games together, I think the Warriors are gonna have the meat grinder that they didn't really get to have to deal with in the Western Conference playoffs last year, this time around. And we'll see that they're as good as they seem to be right now through eight games. Kush, go ahead.
You know, and talking about the flip side of this whole thing and evaluating the NBA just a couple weeks out, to me, I'm looking at some of the disappointing teams, you know, as well. Memphis out there in the West, and the Cavs blew them out in Memphis by 30. They just look like something is awfully wrong there. I throw out New Orleans, but when everybody but Anthony Davis is hurt, it's kind of hard to win ball games. And then I look in the East. My two biggest disappointments right now are the Bucks, because they can't still seem to overall shoot and play as good defense. And then clearly the Washington Wizards. I have no idea what to make of this team right now. They do some good things against the Spurs, and then they're getting blown out in their next couple games. They're under 500 right now. After a couple weeks of play, Matt, who's the biggest disappointment right now in the NBA?
It's a good point about Washington, but I'm going to give them a little bit of a pass because of health. Bradley Beal and Hillero both a little banged up there. But, you know, I mean, I look at up-and-coming teams, but up-and-coming teams that have struggled. You know, Philadelphia is a mess. I mean, obviously, I don't know if you can necessarily call them a disappointment. Not many people expected much out of them. I'll stick with your Washington pick right now, Jim, only because, again, you're right. I don't know what to get out of them on a nightly basis. Last night, not very good. But again, two guys missing. They were awfully banged up last night. You know, I think Milwaukee will find themselves. I still think they're maybe a 500 team that might get a seventh or eighth seed, maybe a sixth seed because the East is again down this year. But to me, Washington, I think, should be playing better basketball. But I will preface it by saying I think they will play better basketball when they're 100%. I think it's just, you know, again, you're only 8-9 games into the year. Let's save them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, because once they get healthy, I think they're going to be a better basketball team. I look at them as maybe a 5 seed in the East right now.
Last thing, Matt, we appreciate the time talking NBA with you. It's always a good time. Do you think that tonight Mark Cuban is going to be driving around Dallas looking for DeAndre Jordan's hotel? The return of DeAndre Jordan and the Clippers to Dallas tonight, the first meeting since that summer fling that kind of gave DeAndre Jordan an unofficial 3-day tenure as a Maverick before he decided, I don't want to be a Maverick. I don't want to be a Maverick. Sorry, a little Seinfeld. he goes back to the Clippers and the whole big mess between Mark Cuban and Dallas. What do you see tonight?
I mean, I think, you know, again, I've always been kind of a quiet supporter of the Mavericks, and not because of Cuban, mind you. I love Dirk Nowitzki. I love what he brings to the table on a nightly basis. You know, I think Dallas is going to try to embarrass them, to be perfectly honest. But you know what? The Clippers are a really good team. I said that while ago. You know, they're a better team than Dallas offensively. I think even defensively they're a better team. I think Chris Paul will be able to run the show past a lot of what Dallas brings to the table. I like the Clippers in that game. That doesn't mean that DeAndre is going to have an easy night, because it's going to be somewhat, maybe not to the same furor, mind you, but it's going to be kind of similar to that first LeBron game back in Cleveland. back in, what was that, 2008, 2009, whatever it was, when he left to go to Miami,
right,
when every time he touched the basketball,
2010, actually,
it was just like the venom out of the Cleveland fans. I'm sure you'll see that somewhat tonight a little bit with Dallas and Dallas and the Clippers with DeAndre. But I think it'll be a good matchup. It'll be one of those usual Western Conference games, 121 to 116, you know, the ones that fans love to watch because the guys are going to go off for 30 points on each side. You know, Nowitzki probably will have a big night. I think Paul and Blake and maybe DeAndre will have big nights. So, but I think the Clippers are a more talented team and they should win the basketball game. But it'll be interesting, if nothing else, because every time, I think we should put one of those over-unders, how many times Mark Cuban gets shown on TV tonight. I think that's the key. Every time DeAndre scores, how many times they do quick shot to Mark Cuban sitting courtside.
Well, I gotta tell you, I'm with you. I've been kind of I wouldn't call it a closet Mavericks fan, but a quiet one.
And it's
two things. One, it is Mark Cuban because he's fun and he's funny.
Oh, he is.
He doesn't care about the league fining him. If he wants to call something out, he calls it out. Two, he's really, really engaging on the Shark Tank show. He's pretty
funny.
Yeah,
he is. Dude. He's fun. He's
easy to like. He's a great interview. And three, you know, remember, it was back in 2010, 2011 that we were all Mavaliers. We were all rooting for the Dallas Mavericks to beat LeBron James and the Heat in the finals because he had just stabbed the city, the owner, the fans, and everybody else in the back when he ran there and took his talents to South Beach. And the Mavericks got us the victory and denied him his first title. And it really made us feel, a lot of Cleveland fans anyway, feel at the time like we, even though we hadn't won anything, we denied him winning something. And I kind of feel indebted to the Mavs for that. They got their championship. They denied LeBron James his first one. And ever since then, if I don't have a rooting interest in the game for any other reason, if the Mavs are playing, I'm going to root for the Mavs to win.
Right. And that's why I guess there's not a lot of closet OKC fans running around Cleveland today because they couldn't get the job done in year two.
That's exactly right. Although I am a huge Kevin Durant fan. I just like him. So.
Oh, love Durant.
So I root for him.
I think they're going to be dangerous. I do agree with you there.
Yep, indeed. Matt Lohde talking NBA with us. Great stuff, Matt. We certainly appreciate it. Great job on NEOSportsInsider.com. Insiders or Insider?
Insiders, sir.
Yes,
insiders.
I got to make sure we get that right so when people punch
Thanks,
it up,
buddy.
I know where to go. But Matt, keep up the great work. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Bob. Happy Vets Day to everybody out there as well.
You got it. Amen to that. Veterans Day 2015, giving our tributes all day long right here on Sports Radio 106.5, The Ticket.